For us. Anybody that's online this morning, go back to bed and then come back. No, I'm just kidding. Thank y'all for being here with us online right now. Thank you for joining us online today. Glad to have you with us on the internet. Let's give them a hand right now. Come on now. Okay, let's start a brand new sermon series this morning called Soul Soil. Soul Soil. Turn in the Bible with me to Mark, the fourth chapter, and we're going to dig into this one passage over the next four Sundays. It's going to be a very good look, a very rich look at Mark 4, 3, really the whole chapter of Mark, but particularly this one parable. How many of you are gardeners? You like to grow some, I see a little, that means you like to plant, but you kill things. That's what that means. How many green thumbs out there? Yeah. Mark, John's a green thumb. What's the opposite of a green thumb? A black thumb, blackers, black thumb, brown thumb. Yeah. This is the season to get your act together if you're going to have a garden this summer, to get your land prepared. And so I think it's a very appropriate time to talk about the soil of your soul. Jesus loved to talk about gardening. He talked probably about it more than anything else, planting seeds, tilling up the ground, sowing seed. Will just talked about the Apostle Paul using the same type story. Jesus talked about it all the time, and it was very practical for them because everybody was a farmer back then. Even if you had it, you know, just right there at your house, everybody was the produce and the growing of crops was very, very close. Even if you didn't do it personally, you were friends with the guy that grew it. And he sold it in the market, and it was all right there. It was all local, organic. Come on, somebody. Healthy fruits and vegetables, corn, all that kind of stuff. So Jesus used it a lot. Let's read Mark, the fourth chapter. We're going to start in verse 3. Listen, behold, a sower went out to sow, and as he sowed, some seed fell along the path. And the birds came and devoured it. Other seed fell on rocky ground, where it did not have much soil. And immediately it sprang up, since it had no depth of soil. When the sun rose, it was scorched. And since it had no root, it withered away. Other seed fell among thorns. And the thorns grew up and choked it. And it yielded no grain. Other seeds fell into good soil and produced grain, growing up and increasing and yielding 30-fold, 60-fold, and 100-fold. And he said, he who has ears to hear, let him hear. We want to dig into this passage. I want to encourage you to read it. There's another version of this same parable in Matthew, the 13th chapter. We're going to be throughout this month going back and forth from Mark to Matthew. And what we want to do when we read a parable like this is find ourselves in the parable. Where are you in that parable? Where are you in that story that Jesus just talked about? But before we get into the soil part, let's talk about the seed. I want to focus on the seed today, and I want to encourage you to take some notes because I want to give you some foundational things about the Bible today that are going to help you in your walk. Seeds are amazing things, and they're created by God to produce and procreate themselves. Think about a kernel of corn on the ear of the corn. You can take that and plant it into the ground, and In the ensuing months, it's going to germinate in the soil when it has the right conditions of moisture and oxygen and sunlight and soil content. It's going to begin to germinate. It's going to begin to come through the soil just like this little plant that's here on the screen. Oh, man, when you're growing something and you see that little green stem coming through and the leaf pop, oh man, there's just something, there's a miracle. It's a miracle of life, miracle of reproduction. Then that plant reproduces not just one seed but multiple seeds, and then those multiple seeds can be planted, and the process goes over and over and over. In one ear of corn there's 250 seeds. Think about the ability of a corn plant, one seed of corn going in, making a plant, and then all those ears of corn, that's 250 times ever how many ears it's got, how many seeds that can produce in one generation, and then how many those can produce. And it's just exponential amount of growth and reproduction. When we think about the seed in the parable that Jesus is talking about, this is one of those parables, in fact, it may be the only parable, where the disciples were scratching their head like, what are you talking about, Jesus? And then Jesus goes into a full explanation of what everything means. If you look at Mark, the 4th chapter and the 14th verse, Jesus says, the sower sows the word. The sower sows the word. So, in other words, the seed is the word. Everybody say the word. The seed is the word of God. And here's a concept that I hope you can grasp today. The word of God can germinate and grow inside of your soul. Think about that. That you don't, this is not just you reading the Bible and you cognitively thinking about it, reasoning with your logic in your brain, and you coming to some sort of conclusion, and now you're educated on the Word of God. That's not the power of the Word of God. The power of the Word of God is, yeah, you read it. Yeah, it does go up in your brain, but it also goes down into the soil of your soul. And the Word of God begins to do something supernaturally in your heart that the Iliad won't do, and that where the red fern grows won't do, and fill in your blank of your favorite novel. Those books will not do what the Word of God will do. It is a seed that goes into your soul, into the soil of your heart, the soil of your soul, and it begins to germinate and do something in the spiritual realm that nothing else will do. The Word of God is a seed. Man, it's such a powerful, powerful concept. And the sower, Jesus says, the sower is just throwing seed out, throwing the Word of God out. That's what I'm doing today. That's what happens every time you come to church, is that there's seed just flying everywhere. The Word of God's coming forth from the speaker, from the songs that you hear. It is being dispersed each Sunday. And so you're receiving the Word of God when you're at church on Sunday. You're receiving the Word of God when you're in small group throughout the week. You're receiving the Word of God when you read it yourself at your house. You're receiving it when you see it on the sign at a football game, right? God is love. Jesus is God. All these things. You receive, the Word of God can come at any time. And so We have ancient and modern literature that is influenced by the Word of God. There's phrases and songs and books and cliches and colloquialisms that we use that just come from the Word of God. It's amazing. Christian songs on the radio filled with Scripture. When you turn on Christian radio, the seed is just coming through the speakers. It's coming at you. The Word of God. The Word of God's coming at you. It's coming at you. Seeds are everywhere. There are 112 different complete English translations of the Bible. Let me say that one more time. There are 112 different types of English Bible, that are accurate and that are the Word of God. Then there's an additional 52 partial translations of the Bible that are different. Amazing. If you turn on television, you're going to get four or five different channels on the television that are the Word of God coming forth. There are thousands of websites presenting the Word of God, dissecting the Word of God. The problem that we have is not a lack of seed. The seed is coming forth. The Word of God is coming forth. Now, in other generations, you might could have had a case because there were no translations of the Bible in your language. But we don't have that excuse. The Word of God is everywhere. So the only problem that we possibly have is how we receive the seed. How we receive the Word of God. That's really the only area that there might be an issue. So let's look at how the Bible talks about the seed, the Word of God. When you read the Bible, if you were to read it in the original language, there's actually two different Greek words used for the Word. And so when we translate it into English, we kind of water it down a little bit. When you read it in the original language, there are two different concepts used where when you read it in English, it always says the same word. Word. But in the original Greek, there was two. One was logos, L-O-G-O-S. You probably heard this word. That's where we get the word logo from. And it really has the same meaning. When you think about God's logo, God's word, it is the wholeness of His word. It is the total inspired word of God. It also refers to Jesus Himself. Jesus is the logo of God in some ways. He is the totalness of God in human form, in man form. He is the Logos. In fact, in the book of John, it says, in the beginning was the Logos. In our translation, it says what? In the beginning there was the Word, but in the original, in the beginning there was the Logos. It was the Word of God. And then it goes on to say in the 14th verse that Logos was made flesh and dwelt among us. That's Jesus. All right, see, I want to write this stuff down. This is good stuff. This is how God speaks to you through seed. Logos is coming forth to you. It is the gospel message. It is the wholeness of God. It is the truth of God. It is the Word of God in its wholeness, in its inspired form, and it is Jesus. It is the gospel message of Jesus. All right, that's logos. The second word that's used in the Bible is rhema, R-H-E-M-A, rhema. Rhema word, so sometimes in the text it was the word rhema. It's a particular verse, scripture, that the Holy Spirit will bring to your attention. It's a relevant right now word of God. It is applicable to your current situation. It is the Word of God that you need for clarity, direction in your life. I need a word. How many of you have ever said that or you've heard somebody say that? I need a word from God about, am I supposed to marry this person or not? I need a word from God. Am I supposed to start this business? I need a word. That's what they're saying is I need a rhema from God. I need a right now, relevant, practical word from God that's for me in this situation. Are y'all awake this morning? Come on, this is good stuff. Are you receiving the rhema, the logos this morning? Because it's coming forth out of the pulpit today. So if you were to boil down this whole series in one sentence, it would be, we want to hear God's word. We want to receive God's word. We want to hear it. We want to receive it. We want to listen to it. Not just hear it, but we want to listen to God's word. So Romans, the 10th chapter and 17th verse says, faith comes from hearing the message, and the message is heard through the word about Christ. Your faith, the scripture says, your faith will actually flourish upon hearing the rhema word of God. If you want your faith to grow, then receive the word, because the word of God's what's going to empower and equip your heart and your spirit. It's like gasoline on the fire. The word of God, it is what is the power. It is going to stir up your faith. Faith comes from hearing the message. The message is not just any message. It is heard through the word about Christ. Matthew 13, 15. Jesus says, this is an explanation of this parable in Matthew 13, chapter 4. Those hearts of these people are hardened. He's talking about people that are not hearing the word of God. Their hearts are hardened. Their ears cannot hear. They have closed their eyes, so their eyes cannot see, and their ears cannot hear, and their hearts cannot understand, and they cannot turn to me and let me heal them. It's not a Jesus problem. It's not a seed problem. There's a problem in the human side of the whole issue. How many of y'all have computer problems? You want to take out the sledge, you want to hit the computer. And then somebody comes along and says, it's not the computer's fault. It's human error. Y'all know what I'm talking about? Yeah, tech people, yeah. It's not the computer's fault, it's user error, it's human error. And so that's kind of what's going on here, is that God is willing. He wants to participate, but another translation says that our hearing has grown dull. Our hearing has grown dull. It's really not an ear problem, it's a heart problem. Our hearts have been hardened. Clear choices that we make affect our heart. It makes it become hard. It makes it become impenetrable. It makes the soil of our heart become a place that seeds do not take rest in. The Logos, or the gospel of Jesus, and the Rhema, the practical bread of life, is unable to have any sort of residence in your heart because it has become hardened by the choices that we make. So here's the truth. Jesus wants to be in your heart. Jesus wants to make a difference in your heart. So maybe the problem is that we're allowing other types of seed to take root. You know, there's not just seeds from God, but there's seeds from the evil one as well. And whatever kind of harvest that you have in your life is because of whatever seeds that you've been planting in your life. Man, I feel God moving in here right now. I know it's time change, but he's doing something in the place right now. And so I don't know what kind of books you've been reading, what kind of magazines you've been into, what kind of blogs you've been reading, or what you have DVR'd. Maybe that's a good way to start looking at the seeds you're sowing into your life. Look at those shows that you have to record so you can watch them later. Woo! I'm telling you, God's moving in here. He's calling people out. If you got TMZ on DVR, you might be sowing some bad seed in your heart. I'm just saying. How many hours do you spend digesting the news, digesting the scandals, digesting the politics and the things of this world versus digesting the word of God? It matters. It matters what goes in, what comes out, what goes in, what affects the soul soil. It makes a big difference. God seems distant, far away. Faith seems irrelevant to your daily life. Maybe life itself seems empty, seems meaningless. Why? Because we haven't prepared our heart to receive the word of God. So, when Jesus' appetite was tempted, we just did a whole series on this. When Jesus' appetite was tempted in the wilderness, he responded with, "Man does not live on bread alone, but every rhema that comes from the mouth of God." Every word that is coming from the mouth of God. Do you realize that the word of God is still alive? It is still coming forth. It is still proceeding out of the mouth of God. It's still making a difference in people's life. The word of God is alive. It's not dead. Every other book that you read gets dusty and old and ancient and it's not alive. But man, when you take up the Bible, it is like it is being written at that moment just for you. God's word is still coming forth. We have a choice every day to let it grow in our hearts or let it fall away. I want to finish with one more passage, 1 Peter 1. Turn with me to 1 Peter 1, the 22nd verse. I think it's time for a word seed to start growing inside of every one of us and producing. An unimaginable harvest in your life. 1 Peter 1:22. Having purified your souls by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Let's leave that verse up there just for a second. This right here, this verse right here, is the preparation of the soil. If you want your soil to be ready to receive the word of God, read 1 Peter 1:22 and let it be the passage of the week, all right? Let this be something that you marinate on this week. Memorize this passage this week. Let this passage just sink into your mind, into your heart. Let this be a seed right here that goes into your life. Having purified your soil, that's when you see soul from now on, I want you to kind of see soil as well, all right? Because that's kind of the whole point of the name of the series. It's soul, soil, but really those words are interchangeable right here. Having purified your soil by your obedience to the truth for a sincere brotherly love, love one another earnestly from a pure heart. Now look what it says next, verse 23. Since you have been born again, not of a perishable seed, but of imperishable, through the living and abiding word of God. Man, this passage is so rich and deep for this series. Think about the seed. What he's saying is that the word of God, the seed of God, is not like any other seed. Now let me just tell you something. Seeds are amazing. Even earthly seeds, like plant seeds, are amazing. I'm sure you've seen the research on corn and other things that have been dug up from ancient civilizations, and then they can take those seeds and those seeds will actually germinate after being dormant for many, many, many years. Just in my life, I've seen this happen too. We used to live on a farm, and there was this old, old barn that we tore down. It was dangerous, and we tore it down. And I took some of the soil from that area and put it in my garden. And when I stirred up, that soil, and I put it into the garden, things began to grow in my garden that I hadn't planted it there. And there was no evidence of it being in the place where I got the soil. But there were seeds in that soil that were just waiting to be in the right conditions to germinate. What the scripture is saying is even those earthly seeds will perish at some point. But the word of God will never perish. It is imperishable seed. And so that's what I want to present to you. When you take the Bible and you open it up, when you come to church and you sit and hear the word of God taught, when you join with other believers at a coffee shop or at a house or in some environment where you're just sitting down and you're discussing the Word of God. What's happening is imperishable seeds are coming forth, and they're being presented into your mind, into your psyche, into your heart, into your spirit. And I'm here to tell you today that they're not going to go void. They're not going to be perishing. That they are inside of you. Some of you have kids that have grown up and they have left you, left the church. And know what the Bible says, and rest on the assurance of what the Bible says, that those kids who've been brought up a certain way, they have the Word of God inside of them. And that seed may be lying dormant, but it's going to produce a harvest at some time. Amen. Amen. So we want to receive it. We want to take it. We want to digest it. Look what the next verse, 24 and 25, says. 1 Peter 1, 24, 25. All flesh is like grass, and all its glory like the flower of grass. The grass withers and the flower falls, but the word of the Lord remains forever. And this word is the good news. This logos is the good news. In this passage, I didn't really explain it to you, but in this passage from 1 Peter 1, 22 to 25, he intermittently uses logos and rhema back and forth. It's a beautiful passage. The word of God remains forever, and this logos is the good news that was preached to you. And so logos and rhema are both important. Logos is something that we hang our life on. It is the gospel of Jesus Christ. It is the salvation of every man, woman, boy, and girl that call on the name of the Lord. They shall be saved. That is the logos. Jesus Christ, the embodiment of Father, Son, and Holy Spirit, the powerful man who was without sin, gave his life for each and every one of us. No matter where you come from, where you've been, what's happened, we can go to Jesus Christ today and say, Lord, please forgive me of my rebellion. Forgive me of my sin. Cleanse me from the inside out and heal me of the brokenness of my past, the places where I've been a victim, the places where I've had hang-ups and issues. Forgive me, Lord. Heal me. And the Lord is so awesome. He loves you. He's going to come in, wrap his arms around you, forgive you, cleanse you, set you on a new path, put people around you that's going to encourage you and uplift you and strengthen you. That's the logos. That's the saving nature of God, the loving nature, the word of God coming forth to you, that we rest in that word. We love that word, that seed, that logos is something that we never want to let go of. We hold on to that. And that's the foundational part of the garden of our life, is the logos, word of God. And if you're here this morning and you got here at the 8:15 service and you don't know Jesus Christ, then you can get to know him right now, today. When we're about to pray, pray with us, and you're going to start a new path with Jesus. But we also have the rhema seed, the rhema word of God. God doesn't just save you and then say, well, go for it. No, he saves us with his logos word, but then he brings that proceeding rhema word to us on a daily basis sometime, where he says, hey, you're going the right way. Keep on going. Hey, I want to encourage. Hey, don't go that way. You're going a little bit too far that way. That person may not be good for you. Hey, why don't you turn that off and don't worry. And hey, come with me. Let's go this way. Hey, I love you. Hey, don't worry about that problem you had. I'm gonna fix it. I'm gonna help you. That's the rhema word that keeps on coming to us day after day through the power of the Holy Spirit of God. Amen. 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 Why don't you stand with me right now? Why don't you stand with me right now? What we're going to do over the next several weeks is we're going to break down, next week, we're going to break down the path and the rocky soil. And we're going to make sure if there's any rocky soil, any path people in the place, you're going to get the tiller out. We're going to till up some rocks up in here. We're going to throw out some rocks. next week. And then the week after that, we're going in the thorny soil. And we're going to be getting the gloves on and digging out the thorns. Mark, John, this sermon series is perfect for you. You need to be all over this. We're going to be taking out the thorns. We're going to prepare the soil of a heart. And then the final week, we're going to be really looking at becoming the sower. Becoming the sower, because that's where God ultimately wants us to be, in a healthy soil place. But he wants us to be dishing out some seed too. Amen. Bow your heads with me right now and let's pray. Heavenly Father, we come before you right now in humility. As we look at ourselves inside of us, we can see that there are areas of our heart where seed has bounced off of, or maybe it's dug down quickly, but then the sun scorched it. The birds came up and plucked it. Maybe it was choked out by the desires of life. Today, God, we want to reorient our soil. Today, God, we want to begin a new journey of reorienting our soul. We want to receive the Logos. We want to receive the Rhema every day. We're eager, Heavenly Father, to live, according to Mark, the fourth chapter, in a good soil situation. Where that seed, that word of God comes into us and it just makes a difference. It produces 30-fold, and then 60-fold, and then 100-fold. God, we pray that that imperishable word of God is going to make a difference in every life in this place. God, bring conviction right now. I pray to every man, woman, boy, and girl, even those watching online this morning, show us the areas of our heart, of our life, that are not of you. If you're in here this morning and you have not yet surrendered your heart to God, or maybe you did in the past, but you've you're in a position right now that's not of God, let's just go to him and say, Jesus, please forgive me of my sin. Please forgive me of my rebellion. Please forgive me of my laziness. Please forgive me of my selfishness. Lord, we come to you and ask that you would just make yourself at home in our life, God. Please, with the power of your Spirit, fill us with your fruit of love and joy and peace, goodness, kindness, gentleness, self-control, faith. God, let the gifts of your Spirit begin to operate in our lives. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen, amen, amen. Yeah. We're going to have some pastors praying at the front, some ministry leaders praying. Come on down if you'd like further prayer today. We also will be baptizing folks this morning. If you'd like to be baptized today, we have the clothes and towels and water and preacher and Jesus. We have everything needed for baptism. Only thing you provide is a heart that is turned toward the Lord. God bless you. You are dismissed. Have a wonderful day, and thank you for coming to the 8:15. Yeah. Yeah. We love you. God bless you. You're dismissed.